always ready.
All right, we're going to call to order the West Lafayette Community School Corporation regular meeting, Board of School Trustees, Monday, June 3rd, 2019, at 6:30 p.m. Need a motion for approval of the agenda of tonight's meeting, please?
Move.
Moved by Mrs. Prochnow.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Hearing none, or hearing no opposition to vote, the motion does carry. Approval of the minutes of the May 6, 2019 regular meeting. Need a motion, please? I'm sorry.
Mrs. Witt,
second by Mr. Marley. Discussion, any additions or corrections? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Communication from the audience, so there wasn't anybody signed up. I don't think there's anybody.
Lefty one.
He's passing, I think, is what it is. We'll move to item four, just because we have the chief here, and start with the safe school technology, if that is all the same.
Sure.
And Dr. Killian, why don't you start from there?
On May 23rd, we brought together our school safety specialists at Willis. We invited the board officers. Karen was able to attend. Chief Harris was in attendance with several West Lafayette PD officers, and we had a demonstration of what's called ARS, and it's an active shooter system, basically is what it is. And prior to that, I'd say about 6 weeks ago, Chief, he invited our school district to attend a demonstration at the West Lafayette Police Department to take a look at this, and that's where I was introduced to this. The reason I like this system is for a variety of reasons, and I also wanted Chief Harris to speak from the police side of this. It's an instantaneous communication system where the 911 dispatch call is removed from the process. And so within every classroom, we have the capability of having a push button or a pendant. And if you have a situation, a life-threatening situation, you can push that button. Within 3 to 5 seconds, West Lafayette PD is notified. The entire school is notified that we have an active situation. So regardless if you're on the third floor, first floor, regardless if you're outside, inside, everyone's going to know this sound, going to see flashing blue light, and you know that you have an active situation. The reason that I like this system is because you don't have to fumble around, dial 911. You don't know who's dialing 911. Also, it has a geo fence around it. So room 110, push the button. The call goes out to the West Lafayette PD, active shooter or active assailant. Assailant in room 110. As a person might progress, more might go off, and so you can see a progression. And so the nice part about this system is it's instantaneous. You don't have to put a lot of thought into it. It's instant communication system. It's 900 megahertz, and if I understand it correctly, maybe the chief can add more information. The 900 megahertz gets us around cell issues and aligns itself with the emergency communication systems. Now, of course, the downside is the cost. And so my costs were way off. I was thinking about $20,000 to $30,000 per school, and it's $185,000 for the total cost. So I'm not recommending that we use resources to purchase it. What I am recommending is we seek out these new grants that the state of Indiana is getting ready to establish for security. There's one that'll be out this fall. It's a matching grant, but I think there are ways that we could actually get almost full funding for it based upon the criteria that I read. And with the partnership with the West Lafayette PD and with the blessing of the board, we would seek funding to try to get this installed in our school district and start utilizing it sometime when we were to receive that funding. Chief, you have anything to share from your perspective?
I think you touched on everything that is of importance. Two things that you keyed in on, our reaction time and the response by anybody in the school. Once a button's pushed, we actually did it. We did a live demo. I got a text message on my phone within 3 seconds that said there's an active shooter, and they give the location as well. of where the button is pushed. So if it's a cafeteria, it comes across, active shooter in the cafeteria. And then as if somebody were to be in the school and move around, every time a button is pushed, it gives an updated location of where this person is. We looked at a lot of different systems, and like Dr. Killian said, it's just simple and it works, but it is expensive. So if anybody wants further information, happy to send that out or answer any questions that you might have.
Yeah, and you all, I think, have the proposal that...
Other than education, let's prevent people from panicking when they hear the siren and pushing their button, even though they may not be in that room.
Well, they might push...
Send people on a wild goose chase.
They might push the button, and that's okay. The issue is, you don't know where the active shooter is going to be anyway. The idea is to forewarn people that are all over the place. You have an active shooter. Right now, if something were to happen, say, the first floor of the high school, I don't know how the third floor people are going to know something's going on. So the idea is, we want to be able to communicate quickly, everyone, this is a lockdown. Now, you may have 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 buttons going off. That's okay, because they're going to be following this track. And one of the things that we're going to be working on too is connection of our video feed into live their communication system. So they can be actually looking on the cameras and finding some things that are going on.
And that's part of the whole package?
No, the video would be something different that we would do internally ourselves. But there could be, if my understanding is correct, maybe the chief has more information, there's going to be some camera settings on some hallway buttons. And I don't know if those are just for pictures of who pushed the button, or if it's pictures of what's going on, live pictures, and that continues. But that's something that I think is supposed to be coming out shortly. There's no way to be 100% sure who pushed the button and where anyone is. What the key is, there are two keys. Well, the first key is, you've got to make sure everyone in the building knows you've got a dangerous situation, lock it down, get those kids out of harm's way. The sooner you can do that, the fewer injuries, in my opinion, is going to happen. The second piece is, the sooner they're notified, the quicker it is, the quicker they're here. Because in the end, they're going to be the ones coming in and taking out the person. So that, to me, are the upsides of this communication system.
Hey, how does the medical one differ from the lockdown one? Because, I mean, we had that situation at Willis where they had locked it down this year for a medical emergency. And I think some kids were very confused about what was going on. I mean, not all kids, but some of them, you know what I mean? They were just scared. They didn't understand what a lockdown meant, and they thought that, you know what I mean? They thought they were in harm, and it was a medical emergency, not an active shooter.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just so training. It's like anything else. It's like,
but how does this differ, like the alarm system? Is it different for
it's different.
Medical?
Okay. Oh, yeah. There'll be a blue light flashing. It has a different sound.
Okay.
And I think there are a variety of different sounds that you can get into this. And so the key is going to be that when you see this blue light flashing all over the place, when you hear this kind of sound, this is a lockdown, you have an active situation for safety. So
what are the plans for, I mean, it seems that we have staff training, and then I don't know, Chief, if you guys are familiar with the system and have experienced it, they're in another school system. Harrison, do they have a system like this?
No one in Indiana has a system like this, except
so we'll be training together with West Lafayette Police Department, right? And
yeah,
our current staff.
A big piece of this technology and the system is training with the students and the staff. You know, I think one of the things that really stuck out over the past week, the recent shooting in Virginia, from the first shot that was fired until that dispatch information went out to the officers, was almost 7 minutes. Mm. And that's an eternity of time.
In the most recent one?
Yeah.
So that's piggybacking on that, this accident that was on Salisbury a little over a week ago, the driver of one of the vehicles was able to get her phone and call her father, and her father arrived at the scene of the accident before the police. Mm-hmm. And they were being called from all around. And so I think that, for me, that was an interesting piece of it, because I'm standing there on the sidewalk watching the dad get there, and then the police come in, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, that's we should be able to be that quick. I like that component of being able to be that quick and have accurate information.
Yeah. And Karen was there, and she might have some perspective from a school board perspective of what she saw and what she heard. Not to put you on the spot.
Oh, no, I was very impressed with it, as was everybody else. Yeah, just the quickness of it, and the fact that it's a direct line to the police, and they could get here rapidly quickly.
I'm not too overly excited about technology when it comes to school security, like metal detectors, that sort of thing. But to me, this communication system is, I think, very valuable. It's like a fire alarm. You push the fire alarm, everyone knows what to do. If we got this system and we pushed it and practiced it, people will know what to do. And everyone will be notified. It's just, and it makes life, I think, a lot easier than a very difficult situation. God forbid we'd ever need it.
Every officer gets this notice, on duty, off duty?
Correct.
Across the board.
Anybody that the school system chose to put in into the system, input the numbers into the system.
Yeah. And we would do that collaboratively with Chief Harris. The Chief Harris said, these are the people that need to be in the system. That's who will be in the system.
Classroom doors, are they locked when this goes off or no? The classroom doors remain functional?
When we do lockdown, you push the button and you go into lockdown, teachers lock the doors.
That's
a manual.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. There's nothing in this system that makes the door an automatic lock.
I get it. It's just the protocol. Do the instructors in the classrooms know what to do when this thing fires off?
Well, they know lockdowns. Right. So when this thing happens, and you hear the sound and you see the blue flashing light, then you got to go into lockdown. They practice lockdowns throughout the school year. So this is just like a fire alarm. If you have an active shooter or an active assailant, push this button and then do your lockdown. You know, so it's a very simple step, additional step, but it's a simple step to get communication. Therefore, you don't have to be worrying trying to pull out your phone, trying to dial the 911, going through dispatch, trying to give your information. And when you're under high duress, sometimes it's very difficult to even remember your name, your location, and sometimes it's hard to even
So that's your process now. So if something happens in a classroom, or a parent comes in,
you have to dial 911?
You've got to dial 911.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, our hope is we dial directly into the, chief's office, but you can't control what's going to happen on the third floor. Someone pulls out a phone and dials 911, and someone on the first floor administration don't know what's going on the third floor. You just now have a minute or two that you've lost. In this, you have 3 to 5 seconds, and they're notified. They're on their way in 3 to 5 seconds. Boom.
Troy, have you looked at the Noblesville situation? How would that have turned out differently if they'd had a system like this?
I'm not familiar with the exact timeline and what may have transpired had they had the system. I don't know how long it took in that relay of information from people inside the building to dispatch and dispatch to the frontline officer.
My understanding is the student went to the bathroom, came back with the gun, and started shooting in the classroom, and that's when the teacher stepped in to take control. Student could have pushed the button and notified everybody, and the police would have been there sooner. Fortunately, you had a hero teacher step in and stop it. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a hero teacher stepping in and stopping it, time is of the essence. Or hero student, could be a hero student.
I want to make an observation here. I have the benefit of having a client. This is all he does, and you're well familiar with him too. He says there's technology today that if a shooter comes in and shoots, they know what the caliber of the weapon is, and it can immediately be recorded. And why would that be important? Somebody comes in the front door and starts shooting away. Teachers aren't going to, does this cover that situation? Is that possible? Have you seen this technology?
We've seen the technology, but have I seen this technology you're referring to?
Yes, the one where they detect the caliber, they know what's happening. Somebody discharges a firearm in a school and
it's a sound sensor.
It's a sound sensor.
Technology.
But I'm thinking somebody comes in, if they're going to shoot somebody in the front office, they're not in the classroom yet.
Yeah, but the office is going to have buttons.
The same button.
Everyone's going to have buttons. You'll have them under your desk. Yeah. You can have them on the wall. there's a variety of ways we can do it. And so my thinking is the office staff would have buttons under their desk. We'd have buttons in every classroom. We'd have buttons in the hallway, buttons in various big space locations, large group instruction room, cafeteria. There's also a portable kit you can take with you for field trips, which we'd have to work out logistics because it depends on who's getting called when you push the button in Indianapolis. But there are newer buttons that are supposed to be coming out with some picture technology to it that I'm kind of interested in. So, I mean, there's a variety of ways to do this, and I'm not suggesting that at all that you have to accept my sell or Chief Harris' sell on this, but out of everything that I've seen, this to me seems to have the most timely, fast response and could provide great security for all of our schools if we did this right. $185,000 for all the push buttons, and they're big kind of buttons with a that's more seeable. You can also get a pendant that you can wear around or put in your desk, and that would cut off about 30 to 40,000, something of that nature. But pendants can be lost. Pendants can be I like something a little bit more secure in the classroom.
That's only for teachers then.
Students could push it.
Right, but
I would
pendant,
want yeah the pendant would be, yeah, the pendant would be only for a teacher, right? Yeah. But I like the idea for a pendant for a traveling situation. You're going out to the field, or you're out at recess. And the all of these buttons, all of these pendants have a geofence. So if you push a button in room 110, or you have a pendant that's assigned to the recess area, that's the location that will be sent to the PD.
Does the SRO know where the button is being pressed from?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll get the same call as everyone else.
Good.
Yep. So what I'd like to consider, if you're open to it, it's really, the agenda says info, but I'd like to get authorization that if I find school security funding to fund this, and I write a grant, and we're successful writing a grant, and being that our next board meeting is August, if I'm successful in coming up with the resources to do this, that you would grant me authorization to try to move forward with it if we have the funding. And I don't know how you feel about that without seeing it, but that was the reason that I had the presentation, so some of you could see it.
I like it. I just think it's
to me, yeah.
My concern is it's reactionary, and I'm going to ask Troy another question. Do you see this as being an impediment to someone coming in? I mean, if they know that we have this system, does that stop them at the door, or does that make them think about coming into our system to do something like that?
I certainly think it acts as a deterrent, knowing that the police are on the way as soon as they enter, as soon as a gun is observed. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a gunshot. It could be somebody has a knife, somebody has a gun. I think they know that the police are going to be there. We could be at any school within 60 seconds, no question. And I think anybody who has ill intent, knowing that, serves as a deterrent.
I got to be honest. I'd rather not be in our building to begin with. I think all of us would probably say that, but I don't know how to keep that from happening.
Right. Well, if you think about the safest, supposedly the most, not safest, but the most secure facilities in America are penitentiaries. And look what they get through there. I mean, you talk about high security, and you find out what they're able to sneak in to those things. So, you know, you can't, as Lieutenant Colonel Grossman, Ken Trump, others, safety specialists will tell you, you can make no public place safe. You can only make it safer.
I would think it has a huge thing, and we've faced this before, where a parent is intoxicated or comes in and becomes disruptive. Somebody presses that button, and you can be there in a minute, because otherwise, you know, we had an incident similar to this where things get out of hand and it takes, and all of a sudden the SRO may or may not be in a position to restrain that parent, and I think that would be a...
Yeah, we kind of hope to avoid, you know, the confrontational. If it's a life-threatening thing, we want you to push the button. If it's someone Threatening, we want you to push the button. If it's someone that, you know, isn't wheeling a gun and that sort of thing, it's kind of a judgment call. But our hope is every time you have an argumentative person coming in, you're not pushing the button. So we'd have to have some conversations about procedures and when not, and that sort of thing. But I'd rather err on the side of caution.
Exactly.
Then to say, don't push the button. If you feel your life's in danger, kids are in danger, this, you know, school district's in trouble, you need to push that button and we'll deal with the aftermath. Is that fair to say, Chief?
I would say so. I think a fair amount of training, being that it's,
right.
it's an active shooter response system, is that when our guys get the message that there's an active assailant, their mindset of entering that building is somebody's armed with a weapon, and that's what they're looking for, not just maybe something a bit
right. argument. And I asked everyone that attended after the meeting or after the presentation, how many of you would be in favor of all this? We had teachers there, guidance counselors there, administrators there, school board representative there, West Lafayette PD there, our SROs there. We even had our insurance agent there, and all hands went up.
I'm in favor of it. I just wonder if it's enough. That's where I'm coming
from. I would
from.
Say that it's never enough, but you have to have the resources to add things. And we've talked about whether you have bulletproof glass or you don't have bulletproof glass, and there's schools of thought with that. But with bulletproof glass, if you want the PD to get in and there's locked doors and they can't get in because it's bulletproof glass, you got another issue. So I mean, there's a variety of things that you have to look at to try to detour. The best thing you can do from all the school security that I've been through, and I've written lots of articles on this in my earlier days, it's timely intel. The way you predict and prevent is usually people know that something's going to happen, and those people have to be feeling comfortable to give you that information. Most of the school shootings, someone knew it was going to happen and didn't share it. So then if they don't share it and something does happen, God forbid, the best thing you can do is to get everyone locked down, safe and secure, and make sure that the PD are notified in the most timely way. The quicker they're there, the quicker this ends.
One more deferral to Troy. What's the law enforcement community saying about this? Where are they coming in?
Something that we discussed is that this type of technology is fairly new. There are a couple places in Florida where this has been installed. Some of the newer technology was app-based. There are a lot of problems with trying to use and open an app in these high-stress situations, which is kind of where this technology evolved from, trying to get something a little bit easier, just simply to press a button. So it's getting a lot of traction, but it's I would say probably a dozen different institutions that have installed this technology in the past year.
Yeah, I think part of the deal would be also to promote, you know, some level of making people aware that this is out there now. It's important. Because I do think it makes sense to me that it would be a deterrent mm-hmm. if the actual event was going on, somebody's coming in, and all of a sudden they see everything going. I mean, I have no data to support that. But
I don't think people who come into school to shoot children are
thinking that way.
Thinking
probably not.
Getting caught. They know darn well they're going to get caught. And they may not. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks they're going to go into a school, shoot a bunch of kids, and then go home and have lunch. That's not typically the way their brains seem to work.
They're going there to be.
They're going there to wreak destruction and not.
I don't know if they're thinking of any of that stuff.
I don't. Yeah. I do think that parents and teachers, in particular parents, I think, would receive this really positively and feel good about protecting kids. And I think that's a compelling argument.
We have a motion, we'll have the motion as Rocky stated.
Just a request, if you feel so open to considering it. Because there are going to be some grants coming open this summer, and I'm going to hit it hard and heavy. I'm usually pretty good at writing those kinds of things.
Are there other options besides this system that we've looked at so far?
There's one other option that I think Ross had sent me that I briefly looked at. To me, it doesn't have the vigor of the system, the ASR, I guess is the actual system. The one Ross sent me, I looked into a little bit, doesn't have the vigor, in my opinion, the capability of instantaneous information and the maintenance of it, but I mean, there are other systems that we can look at if we want to do a little shopping. The reason I like this system is because, one, our technology people say there's no burden on us to maintenance this. Two, it's an easy install. There are no very few wires in the control panel. There would be some wiring, but everything's wireless. Three, the company, takes care of all the maintenance, and this is on a 5-year battery life of all the systems, and within a year for batteries to start indicating failure, they'll come in and start replacing them, and the control system will actually tell you that in this location, this battery needs to be replaced if you have a premature battery failure. And so I think it's easy install. I think it's easy communication. It's actually built by law enforcement. And the reason that I like that is because they understand law enforcement communication and what megahertz or whatever frequencies they need to utilize to get around the cell systems.
So make sure I understand this. The company that we're looking at, there's only 12 other entities that are using it in the United States?
Yeah, it's brand new. This is a brand new situation. Sure, yep. Sure. No, you're right.
Okay, so let's go back to having a motion. Do I have a second, please?
I'll second.
Second by Mrs. Witt. I can be the person on the motion. Any other questions, please? And the motion is basically to give him I would expect that if you do get grants, you'll be keeping us well informed
of
what that would be.
Oh, yeah.
This is not, none of us look at this as a minor expenditure. That's for
no.
Sure.
Well, there's new grants out, House Bill 1255 added millions of dollars to school security.
Yeah.
So those grants are going to become available, I think, early July. And so as soon as they come available, I'm going to write and try to get a couple of them. And there's one that's a matching grant where we would match it, but I think you can throw in the annual maintenance to be part of that. And so by the time you add everything up, the $185,000 would be totally funded. And then we would have an annual maintenance fee that I would bring to you formally for consideration for the contract. But I'd like to be able to spend the summer working on this, so at least in August, if we were able to accomplish this, I can say we found the funding, we're starting the installation, and here's now the annual maintenance. And the reason that there's only a handful of people using this, it's just been introduced a year, would you say a year, Chief? There's schools in Florida that are using it. Heron High School is using it. And then there's a couple of businesses in Indiana that are also looking at for install. And I forget what the businesses were. Do you remember?
Well, it was Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, yeah. So, we tried several times to make the system fail. And so far, every time we've had the demo, it didn't fail. Now, if we were to pursue this, one of the things I would make sure that would be in the contract, and I'd have Bob and Ross review it, is that we would have a guarantee that the system is 100% operational and we don't have any flaws in it. If we had a flaw in it and testing it, they either have to make it right or recompensate us for it.
Okay. Additional questions?
I'm all for this and I'm going to vote for it, but one of the things I'm curious about, the governor approved a certain amount of money for school corporations that wanted to use metal detectors. I think it was the wand.
The wand.
What I'm curious about is what school corporations took them up on the offer and how well is it working or not working?
I can tell you that I know one school district that just took the wands because they felt pressure to take the wands, and I've been told that the wands are in the trunks of school security specialists because they have not trained those people to use those wands. So we were ones that
that's
did not.
It's not a problem of the wands, it's a problem of the
protocol and the procedure.
It's not a problem of the wands, it's a problem of the school system
but
procedures.
That's
also,
the problem.
Also, are we putting wands on our kindergartners?
ISBA.
You know what? It's not the kindergartners. It may be the parents, or it may be a teacher, right, or it might be someone else.
Yeah.
That it's not about the kids necessarily. Right. It could be somebody else that walks in the building.
Yeah.
And so the point I'm trying to make is this. The state of Indiana thought it was a good idea to have these wands available for schools, and they funded it. I want to know how well it's working or not working. Because this, and again, I'm going to emphasize this, is reactionary. It's not preventative. It's not going to stop somebody from getting in our classrooms. It isn't. Okay?
Well,
this is what happens if somebody does get in our
building. Right, I agree. And I would be happy to invest in anything that prevents it. So if anyone presents
to me. I'm in the same camp. I just want to know what the state proposed. I want to know how it's working.
Well, that I can't tell you. I can only tell you the anecdotal information I've received. And there were a handful of school districts, including West Lafayette, that didn't do it for a variety of reasons. And one was from the ISBA legal team that said you need to have policies, procedures. Who's going to use them? Are you going to train them?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
And we might take an hour and a half to get kids in the building.
Yeah. So.
So I'm curious about the answer to that.
Yeah.
I'll need to go to that level.
Some of the preventative stuff, in my mind, if you were to ask me what are you doing to prevent violence in our schools, I would say we've restructured the entrances of all three buildings. We have SROs on site at those buildings. To me, those are the preventative things that we've done. Is there anything else?
We upgraded all of our school security protocols and had training, so everyone has the same process in place for whether it's fire, whether it's lockdown. We had our entire school safety team come together, and I think it was last year, they worked with all of our staff to ensure everyone practiced this. So it's kind of like the whole fire drill thing. The fire drills, if you can think, since we've been practicing them from way back when, can anyone remember the last time a child died in a fire? Here, I'd ask you this question. Since 1859, how many students in Indiana have been killed in a public school due to a shooting? Anyone want to care to guess?
I almost don't want to know, but please tell me.
In Indiana, since 1859, how many kids have been killed in a shooting in Indiana? Two.
Yeah, in Noblesville?
No.
No, nobody there died.
There was not death.
Only two killed. And what I'm saying is that every time that there's a shooting, you know, there's this big thing about schools are unsafe. And I would argue that, we've got to do a better job of improving what we're doing, but every day, I think we are safety conscious to try to be doing that. And the key, if you really want to get into prevention, I can share all the research with you. The biggest way to ensure that this is being resolved is through caring, loving adults in the building, interacting with students, finding out if there's human fallout, and getting those people services and help and mental assistance. And that's where we're falling short in Indiana. We have no funding for mental health and support services. That's where we really need it, because we are doing our best to try to get the kids that we think need that help to outside agencies, but there's not a lot of help out there. I don't know if that makes sense. But
well, not only is there's not a lot of help, but the other issue is, I love our schools, clearly I'm here, but there is a culture in our schools where you have to be right all the time, you have to be great all the time, and that we have students struggling with mental health issues who don't feel like they can ask for help, regardless of how much we tell them they can. And it's embarrassing, and their parents schlep them to Indianapolis and to other areas to go get help instead of having it be able to be open and discussed in the school and have resources available locally. So that's a area for improvement, I think.
Well, I think our teachers and our staff do an admirable job, because I do think that they're getting to some of those kids that they see their struggles, and that's really the key to it. So, I mean, there's no easy answers to school security, and I can give you a whole book of things that schools can, should, or shouldn't do. And I agree with Brad, it's a predictive, it's a reactive response, and it's better that we predict and prevent rather than react and respond. But you also need to have those react and response systems in place in case, God forbid, anything does happen. It's kind of like a spare tire. I mean, when's the last time you needed a spare tire? You don't use it until you absolutely need it, and then when you need it, you better hope there's air in it.
Find it. There was, it was you the one time.
We'll figure out how to get it out.
$4.65.
That's right, Tom and I are standing by the.
I had a white shirt on too, I remember.
Never seen anybody, you were up for the Indy 500. Okay, any other discussion, please?
I will keep you, if you approve this, I will keep you posted.
I'm all for it.
It does seem to be more logical than Army teachers.
If we're shooting him with rubber bullets, I'm just going to throw that in there.
Okay, let's, any other discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry.
Yeah, and Chief Harris and I will also work collaboratively on this and look for other resources.
I have confidence that you will, and we look forward to hearing.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll move back to the academic achievement and RDP projects, and Dr. Killian.
So some quick updates. You already know all of this, but just make sure it gets on our minutes. We're going to break ground for the James R. Guy Education Wing July 24th. We're going to have a reception for our donors and for Jim Guy, and Lindsay has been working on notification with Jim, Rachel, so I'm not sure how all that's going, but at 9 o'clock, at the junior senior high school, we'll have a reception for our donors and for Jim and foundation and board members who can attend. 10 o'clock, we'll do the groundbreaking. And then at 11:30, we will do the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center. We will do a reception at 11:30 with Tom Kelly and his family and foundation and board. You're all welcome. One of the things we're going to do, and I think I might pull this off of the audio, but when we take Tom's family around to see what we're doing, the band's going to be in the auditorium, and when we walk in, they're going to play True Colors, one of his songs. So we'll have 3D renderings of both receptions, I hope, to get to show them. And then the ribbon cutting for the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center will be at 1 p.m. So if you can attend any of those, I hope you can. April will send out some reminders and get some RSVPs and save the date stuff. Those cards are getting ready to ship out to remind people. And then Cumberland, which will move to West Lafayette Elementary School, ribbon cutting will be on July 31st at 10 o'clock. And we'll have a small instrumental ensemble out there to join us, and we'll have the ribbon cutting. As a reminder, we had a tour set up for all of you July 22nd. We will start at the high school, I believe at 9:30, and then we'll go over to West Lafayette Elementary School. So if you can attend on that July 22nd, I think that's a Monday, please join us at the high school. We'll take you on a tour of the junior senior high school, aquatic center, food court, show you some things, and then we will head over to West Lafayette Elementary School. You get to see partial things. You're not going to get to see the south wing. It's probably pretty much going to be in demolition mode. Might be some things that are opened up, but you hopefully can see the new media center. You can see the new offices. You can see some of the new designs that have been implemented. And then the Richard Wax Aquatic Center, we are scheduled to open to mid to late October. There's a range right now because it's been a little bit delayed, but we're thinking mid to late October, as well as the food court, mid to late October. So those things will happen. The bids will be coming in for the James R. Guy Education Wing in the next couple of weeks. And then the bids come in for the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center probably end of July, 1st of August, in that realm. We are getting some semi-positive news that our assessed valuation is going to possibly be higher than anticipated. I don't want to get people too excited about it because we won't know for sure until it happens, but Bob has been working on some sources on this, and it looks like that it could mitigate some of the loss of AV that we have had happen a year ago. So that could help us with our debt service and other things that we're looking at. Plus, I've got a meeting I'm trying to establish with legislators for an idea that I have to possibly do a legislative fix for the loss of assessed valuation. I still have yet to get that confirmed, but Larry DeBoer and I are going to are working on that. We thank the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center and the James R. Guy Wing now will open the summer of 2021. It's probably going to be a little longer than anticipated with regards to construction time and opening, but I could see in the summer of 2021 that being finished.
All right, we'll move on to academic achievement in the State of Indiana Public Schools Forum.
On September 19th, I've asked Larry DeBoer, Jennifer McCormick, J.T. Koopman to present at our high school auditorium, the State of Indiana Public Schools, with regard to legislation, finances, etc. I think there needs to be some explanations about a variety of things that have gone on with the last legislative session, what's going on with the funding formula. By then we'll have a better idea of how the funding formula impacted our schools and whether or not we had growth, ADM growth or not. So Larry DeBoer would do some number crunching, and they also explain TIF district and circuit breakers and tax caps and all those impacts upon our schools. Jennifer McCormick has about an hour presentation about the impact of the legislation on public schools. And she's been, I think she's been doing a great job of being upfront and truthful about the legislative decisions that are adversely impacting public schools. So she's going to talk about all that. And then J.T. Koopman, who's the director of the Superintendent's Association, has agreed to be a part of that and talk to all those that are in attendance to explain to them what they can do to get involved and support their local schools. So that's September 19th. So I'm looking forward to it, and we're going to invite legislators, we're going to invite surrounding school districts, and I think it'll be a good time for community members to hear the other side of the story rather than what maybe some caucuses have reported about patting themselves on the back on how well things are for the public schools.
Okay. All right. Is there a motion there?
Just info. All right. Hope you all can attend. Save the date.
All right.
And I was going to ask if you would, you know, do a brief introduction.
What time did you say?
6:30.
I already actually know. Unfortunately, I have a conflict that night. But well, so
you can defer.
But I may defer to somebody else that wants to give a stirring introduction, which would be fine. But we'll see how that shakes out. Juvenile Truancy Program and Dr. Killian.
We have not received the revised agreement. I'm still waiting on that. So if the board would be so kind to give me authorization to re-enter into that program once I get the revised agreement, that would be helpful to us so that we can make sure it's in place for the fall. All of our principals highly speak of it. We've been using it for years, and it's a good program to get parents and juvenile truancy officers together when students aren't coming to school.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
Sure.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bittner. Discussion, please. Questions? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none. That motion does carry. Safe school technology. We've already hit. We're back to school board calendar as presented. Rocky, anything else to add? I don't have anything else to add to it. It's under me.
Hopefully, all the dates are correct. And
okay. Need a motion, please, to accept the school board calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Mrs. Prochnow.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion. Okay, pretty much the same as it's been. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Transportation agreement and Mr. Sloat.
Yeah, if you recall, we have an agreement with TSC to take care of our buses, do the maintenance, storage, so on. Well, now that we've gotten received 6 buses from GLAST with decentralization, instead of 13, we have 19. So this amends the original agreement. It goes, says that we now have 19 buses. The cost then goes, before it was $5,000 a unit, they've gone down to $4,625. So our annual agreement with them is $74,000. So that covers the, doesn't cover each individual maintenance cost on the bus, but it's their overhead costs and things to let us park buses there, helps cover some of the mechanics cost and things like that. So we, I think that's cooperation has really helped us out, you know, since we lost that with City Bus. So I'd recommend that we amend this agreement. This will go then for the next school year, 19-20 school year, then we have to look at renewal at that time to see where we're at with everything.
And how much did we get those buses for?
$1?
Dollar. I haven't paid a dollar yet, so.
Here, let me give you $6.
Yeah. Rocky, I'll give you $6.
We're already paid.
I know. But I like just bringing it up. I just want to make sure people understand it was only a buck.
Hey, Karen, thanks. He's been ripping me all day about stuff.
So. I keep asking him for good news. Hey, Ross, give me some good news.
See, Karen's thinking like I am.
I know.
That's right. We pay for those buses.
We paid him a lot of time.
yeah, well.
Need a motion, please.
Honeymoon's over.
So
moved by Mr. Schott.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Vintner. Discussion. Or blame. Either one.
Well, we're happy with TSC. They've really helped us in a variety of ways. They've helped Doug quite a bit. So we're on the right track. It's just going to take time to get everything shifted over.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the motion does carry, and we'll move on to school board policy revisions. And Dr. Killian.
Recommending your approval of the revisions as presented. I want to thank Karen for coming in and working with April, and then Rachel and Doug and Karen have also worked on some previous things, and so everyone working together, I think we're now all caught up if you approve these revisions.
Thank you, Karen.
Yes.
I'm tired of reading them.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell. Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Was this a 2-year process? 2+ years?
3 years. 3 years. Yeah.
I was kind of hoping we'd be done in 6 months.
Move approval.
Move by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Yeah. Second by Mrs. Witt.
I just want to say a couple of things. Yeah, so what these revisions are the spring updates from NEOLA. So now April will send it all back to NEOLA, and they're going to give us a final copy, which we will approve in August, and then we'll be able to have hard copies and get it posted online.
Okay.
So yeah, just a big thank you to fellow committee members, and especially to April for all her work on that.
Yep, she's kept it organized.
Been forced to listen to a lot of odd conversation.
Other questions or comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Thanks to all. 2019-20 breakfast lunch prices, Mr. Sloat.
Yeah, on our lunch prices, if you remember back a year ago when the State Board of Accounts came in and did an audit, they said we didn't use this equity, paid lunch equity tool released by the USDA. Well, I didn't know there was a paid lunch equity tool. And then, of course, we brought Courtney on board, so we're trying to get things in compliance. So when she did the tool, it said that our weighted average, which is you take the lunch price of elementary, intermediate, junior high, and weight it by the number of students in each grade, you should be at $3. Well, our weighted average comes out to about $2.70. We've not raised prices for, I don't remember, it's been several years.
A long time.
So with that tool, we didn't feel we could really go up to the maximum. They do give an exception. You don't have to, so I think it's a step to get there. So we'll raise elementary from $2.45 to $2.65, intermediate to, from $2.80 to $2.85, try to get that gap narrowed. And high school, $2.95, and then breakfast at $2.10. So I would recommend that. One thing that's interesting when you think about the lunches, when a free lunch, what we get reimbursed from the state is $3.37. I mean, they reimburse us more than we charge on paid lunches. So what the government's trying to get you to do is at least charge close to that on your paid lunches, so what they reimburse on the free lunches is closer, there's not as much gap in there. And our reduced lunches, we get reimbursed $2.97. And then the other paid lunches, if somebody gets a full paid lunch, you know, we still get 37 cents reimbursed. So, you know, we're not only collecting dollars from the students, we're getting some reimbursement funds from the government. So I'm not sure, under some of that stuff doesn't really make a lot of sense to us how they figure that out.
That's why we have, what, a $21 trillion deficit
I think
in government?
So. Yeah. So, but I think this is a fair increase. You know, we are having, you know, with opening up a new kitchen now at Cumberland, a kitchen at Willis, I mean, we do have more labor costs, you know, quite a bit more because we've got more employees coming in this next year. So I think since we haven't raised them for quite a while, I think it's a good timing to get them back more in line. When we do get audited and now in another year, they will look at this, and if we don't raise them, we'll probably get written up again. So I think I'd recommend that you consider this increase.
Amazing. I remember trying to scrum up 35 cents when I was in grade school to mom in her purse, 35 cents for a lunch.
Right.
Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Any additional questions or comments?
Kind of related. How do kids' lunch accounts look? Have we had fewer in arrears this year?
It's better than it has been because we had better procedures in place, and I don't have the dollars in my mind, but I know that this, we had some in too far in arrears, but we've eliminated a lot of that.
Okay.
So it's a matter, we had better timing on notification when you get behind, so we got that in place at each building.
Courtney's done a nice job of not only communication, but training staff.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? We're ready to vote on this. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. School resource officer agreement, Dr. Killian.
Food service bids?
Skip right over. Let's go back to food service bids first. And Mr. Sloat.
Yes, on the bids you have there in front of you, again, this is another item that we were part of hospital purchasing services before, and they did the bidding, and then we never brought to the board because, you know, they bid it. Well, we're not with them anymore. We're with this other food service cooperative. And the audit said you should bring back to the board because there's no board members on that group, and so you need to have the board approve the bids. So you can see there the bakery bid, milk bid, snack and beverage, produce, and ice cream. The low bids, and then the couple of them are on a point system, so they're evaluated based on the product, on service, delivery, and price of the product. So when they score it, you can see one of the higher points are the recommended vendors that will get the bids.
So they have the best service and the best pricing.
Right. There's a combination, there's a weighted formula.
That's what I didn't understand when I saw that.
How
they came up with that.
Yeah.
Need a motion, please. Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow, if I heard that right. Additional discussion? Questions? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Now to item 10, school
rest. Next year you should bring samples of the ice cream.
Yeah, there you go.
To see if we really want that kind of.
Yeah.
Bring
one of
these.
Make an informed decision that way.
I like it. Good idea.
Item 10, though, school resource officer agreement, and Dr. Killian.
We're recommending your approval of this agreement with West Lafayette PD. They provide us a great service with our SROs and also provide us some financial assistance with it. So I think it's a good thing.
Okay. Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion, questions. And it's a 1 year, a year annual agreement, right? Yep.
The pay rate on there is the same as we're paying them this year too, the $29.53, I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry.
And by the way, that's the salaries are come from the Safe Haven grant, right?
We had matching on that.
Okay.
Okay. CD investment resolution, and Mr. Slott.
Yeah, each year we ask you to give us permission when we take bids on CDs if we can go outside of our political subdivision area to get the quotes. So that's the purpose of this. You did this a year ago, and I just got, sorry we got this added late. I just got this sent to me today from our investment advisor. It's time to do it again. We got a CD coming up next month, and I said we don't have a board meeting, so I'd like to get this on and recommend approval.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Brocknow. Discussion. Thank you. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, Ross, go get it where you can. So thank you. Overnight out of state field trips, a couple of these have already passed. High school varsity wrestling team to camp, but also high school track and field. That was a successful meet, to say the least, this past week. And high school football team to camp, which will be in Indy June 10th through the 12th. You guys can read these, but high school boys basketball and girls basketball at Fort Wayne, at separate weeks, high school boys soccer to camp at Fort Wayne, and also high school robotics, what was added late today, to competition in Rockford, Illinois. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Personnel.
And as you mentioned, congratulations to our track team. Won four championships out of the last 6 years.
Coach Lane Custer.
And Lane Custer.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah. 2020. So we'll be trying to, doing some things to honor him with regards to that.
Yeah, no question. Personnel report.
Make the recommendation, everything listed in the personnel report be approved.
Okay, need a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. By Dr. Springer, second by Mr. Marley. Discussion. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, hearing none, that motion does carry. Accounts payable, Mr. Sloat.
Okay, we have $3.7 million of payables. Comment on a couple of things on that first page where you see GLCA, that's Greater Lafayette Career Academy. So we're transitioning to the Greater Lafayette Career Academy from what's below at WCC West or Wildcat Creek Cooperative. So this will be our last payment to Wildcat Creek, and we're transitioning to the Career Center at the USTSC in Lafayette. So that's our 6 month portion of their overhead cost. Where you see RevTrack down there, that is payment. They process our payments, credit card payments for book online charges like book rental, food service, lunches, things like that. Schuster Consulting, remember he does our hedging on our fuel, our gas, heat for the buildings. And the J&K handheld, it was J&K, I think around $12,000. We had to upgrade some of our handheld radios. Those things are expensive, those, you know, what the custodians carry around. So we upgraded, that's 12 radios that we had upgraded. Just want to comment, they are working on the soccer fields now. Until this donation money you talked about the other week, that's all held at the foundation. So I've asked the foundation, and I get copies of all the invoices they're paying to keep track of it. If Lindsay will be paying those invoices, we'll get copies until the donations are spent, and then at that point, we'd have our share that we'd have to cover.
Okay. All right. Need a motion to accept the pay our bills?
So moved.
Second.
Mrs. Witt, second by Mr. Marley. Additional discussion and questions for Ross? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Information of the board, I have nothing additional at this point. Board and superintendent reports, we'll go around the horn. If anybody has anything, we'll start with Mr. Marley.
Not tonight. Thank you.
Tom Schott.
Foundation met, probably the biggest news, Doug Masson, he'll be the new president of the foundation going forward.
Okay, good for Doug.
Rest of the officers pretty much intact, so.
All right. Melissa, anything for your end?
I do not have anything.
Rachel?
Discussion met and policy met. Both Mark, you'll cover those. I just want to say how much this was the second year of the students leading graduation, and I thought they did a beautiful job. Yes. I really liked the change. I thought it was a lovely, respectful ceremony and appropriately joyful. So really, would like to congratulate in particular, I know the guidance office and the administrators of the junior senior really put a lot of work into that. And I really like the new format a lot.
I would agree, but we need to get ourselves, we need to be on the stairs.
That was
so we can help horse people down.
Logistical challenge.
That was a logistical challenge.
I was just go there. We had to ask the students to introduce each other or themselves because the first nine didn't. The valedictorians, that is.
Right.
And then the last three did.
Because everyone knows who they are, of course.
Yeah. So.
No, I agree.
You're all welcome to stand wherever you want.
Well, last year we stood at the base.
No, we just forgot where we were. I mean, that's dead. That's just, we just need to remind ourselves.
They just tell me that you need to stand where I stand, so I just go.
No, we were on. We were instructed last year to be at there. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. an appropriate place because it serves a serves a second duty just to make sure nobody falls off. So I think that's, we'll all try to remember that next year.
Yeah,
and
that was very nice.
Yes, it was nice, and I agree with you, Tom. I do think intros for the rest of us would be good, but they were good. I thought, again, I think you do run a risk at sometimes those. You got like the term respectful, but we seem to have the ability to, with our students, to stay in that mode. And when they do, it's really terrific. So I agree with you very much. Okay, anything else?
I have nothing.
Okay,
Dr. Spoon. Municipal swimming pool opened last Thursday. It's now open full time. If you've not been down to Happy Hollow lately, the new playground equipment is completely installed and opens for use.
Yes, that's nice.
The Case and Park Design Consultants are presenting a final park design for that park tomorrow night, June 4th at 6 p.m. at Lilly Nature Center. So. It's, I've been on the committee, steering committee for that. And the schoolhouse will be the focal point for that, but also open space, trails in the forest area, and then there's going to be playground in the back and a natural water feature with natural playground equipment. So no shiny plastic. It's going to be natural, something different and enticing for everybody to come to.
Yeah, I think that park is a shining jewel in this area. I mean, what they've done with that over a period of time, just with the trails and everything else, is fantastic, I think. For me, the only thing I would say is July 31st. I know I'm on vacation, so I'm hoping somebody will be in town for board representation at the West Lafayette Elementary ribbon cutting. Would be fantastic if we could do that. And I'll be communicating that, but I assume, I mean, hopefully many of you can be there. I know I can be there on the 24th. Communication from the audience, non-agenda.
Your chance, Mary Del.
Did you sign?
I did, actually.
Okay. I saw you said sign up, so go right ahead.
I forgot to tell you something, but before that, I wanted to thank you for being proactively reactive, if that is such a thing, and grabbing the available funding and or grant monies and helping us all be safer. We appreciate that. I think Mr. Marley and Mrs. Witt touched on something really important, and that's the mental health component of things. My dream, and I know there's a dearth of services and we're watching our pennies, but my dream would be to have a social worker or therapist in every school in addition to a nurse. It's important that we take care of the inside in addition to the outside. And we do have several students under mental duress, you know, anxiety, depression, through the roof almost. So anything you can do in the future when the
you know, the funding fairy comes, would be appreciated. Also, really quickly, we do have a sophomore who's going to be honored at Carnegie Hall Thursday. She won a gold medal for a national writing award, Scholastic Writing Awards. We've had two national silver medals awarded to the same student, Gretchen Bauman, 2 years in a row. This year's gold is Kendall Tran. She wrote a dramatic script. She can't make it. She's on the German field trip now, taking advantage of that. But I'll be flying out and I'll represent us. And just wanted to let you know there's writing going on.
That was really
awesome.
Cool.
That is very good.
Congratulations, Mary Dell. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Anything else for the good of the order? We have no July meeting. Our next meeting is Monday, August the 5th. And in addition to tomorrow's meeting, which everyone's aware of as well. Need a motion for adjournment, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Marley, second by Mr. Bittner. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, hearing none, that motion carries. We do have some things to sign, and you make sure you